It's a pleasure to be back here with you this evening. If you would, please open in your Bibles to the letter of 1 John. I'm looking at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Listen to the word of the Lord. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that we can be in your presence. We thank you for this day that you've given us, your Lord's Day, to come into your presence, to remember your powerful works of creation, but also to remember your powerful work of redemption. And the day that you've raised the Lord Jesus Christ up, the first day of the week, resurrecting him from the dead and seating him at your right hand as the King of the nations. Lord, we worship him now. We come into his presence. We're thankful we can be in his presence because of the sacrifice that he has made on our behalf. And Lord, we pray that this evening, as we look at your word, you will show us Jesus Christ, show us his work, and show us what our response ought to be in light of it. So, Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes to see the Lord Jesus Christ, open our hearts to receive him, that you would increase our faith. Help us to grow into more conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, also that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever wondered whether those around you who claim to be Christians really are? Or have you ever thought to yourself, am I a true Christian? Now, there are several reasons why you may have asked yourself these questions. Two of them may be you look at the lives of those around you, those who claim to be Christians, and despite their claim to the contrary, you think to yourself, well, that's not what I think a Christian should look like. Or perhaps you doubt your own walk with Christ. Perhaps you doubt your own salvation because, once again, you look at others around you or others in the broader evangelical church who are more gracious and forgiving than you are towards what you think is sin. Perhaps some of them even begin to chastise you, saying that, you know, if you were more loving and forgiving like your Heavenly Father, you wouldn't be so harsh on those who do what you think is sin. As a matter of fact, it's hard to say that what they do is sin. Maybe you should lighten up a little bit. Maybe you begin to think if you were a real Christian, maybe you would be more like them. Maybe you would not look at things as sin like you do now. Well, if any of these questions have come into your mind, if you've ever doubted your own salvation for these reasons or doubted the salvation of others, you're not alone. The audience that John was writing to in his epistle were experiencing the same questions of doubt and for much the same reason. There were false teachers that were hounding John's sheep. They were causing his sheep to be confused about the gospel. There were false teachers who claimed to be Christians and yet rejected John's teaching. They went on to live lives that were contrary to the word of God, yet they still claimed to be Christians. These false teachers believed that since their souls were redeemed, they could live however they wanted in the body. And this was causing John's sheep to be confused. They didn't know what a Christian looked like. They didn't know what it meant to walk in the light. So John wrote this section of his epistle to reassure his readers and to reassure you that you can know that you walk in the light by living a life of repentance and faith. You can know that you walk in the light. You can have assurance that you are Christ's because you walk in the light through repentance and faith. Well, the message that John wants to declare to you this evening, that God wants you to hear tonight, is that God himself is light. We see that in the first verse of this section, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. John begins by expressing the character of God by using the idea of light. And in doing so, he lays the foundation and the groundwork for the next several verses. Now, in the Old and New Testament, both the contrasting ideas of light and darkness are used extensively. And they're used to show absolute opposites, like truth and falsehood, openness and secrecy, God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom, good and evil. And what John desires to say when he says that God is light is that he's pure and holy. And none of the things which darkness represent, none of the characteristics of darkness can be found in God. See, God is pure and holy. He is righteous. He is good. There is no falsehood in God. There's no evil. God does not lie. He's completely righteous. He's completely good. And John wants to repeat himself and makes sure you get the picture by using the negative phrase, in him is no darkness at all. Just think about what light is for a moment. When you think about light, it's hard to imagine any darkness in it at all. Because light, in light, there is no darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. They cannot exist in the same place and at the same time. Where light is, darkness cannot be. And that's why there's no darkness in God, because he's full of light. God is light. And this is what he desires for his people, that they walk in the light as he is in the light, that they're holy as he himself is holy, that they're pure and righteous as he himself is pure and righteous. Just as there's no spots of filth or hypocrisy or anything perverted in God, he desires you to be pure and truthful and walking honorably before him. But during the day that John wrote this letter, and even today, there were people who claimed to walk in the light, but their deeds didn't reflect the light. There were and are people today who claim to be Christians, but it's hard to tell if they really are. And there were and are people today who don't claim to be Christians, but seem like really good people. And John's sheep were wondering, and perhaps you are too, whether there's such a thing as a bad believer or a good unbeliever, whether there's such a thing as a carnal Christian or a holy pagan. Can a believer, if he does something really bad, be in some sort of, or lose some sort of fellowship with God? Or can an unbeliever, if he's really good, gain some sort of fellowship with God? How do we know where people stand? Well, John wants to make it clear that there's only two types of people. Either you walk in the light or you walk in the darkness. Look at what he sets forth in verses 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Once again, John points out that there's only two types of people in the world. Those who walk in darkness, verse 6, and those who walk in the light, verse 7. There's no middle ground. There's no fence riding here. There's no jumping back and forth between the two. There's only believer and unbeliever. Sheep and goat. Wheat and tare. Christian and non-Christian. John's words accord well with those of Christ. For Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, he who is not with me is against me. John does not want his people to be confused about those who are spreading the false teaching. Once again, the heretics John was fighting against still claimed to be Christians. They still claimed to be a part of Christ's church. And John's sheep needed guidance. They needed to know how to pick out the wolves from among the sheep. John was trying to make it clear that you can't be a Christian and a heretic at the same time. You can't be a sheep and a wolf at the same time, even if some of these wolves are baaing like sheep. It's as if John were talking about a light switch even. A light switch can either be on or off. There's no in between. And just in case you're trying to be clever, there's no dimmer switch when it comes to Christianity. It's either light or darkness, believer or unbeliever. John wants to make it clear there is no in between. So I want to ask you this evening, where are you? Where are you tonight? Are you walking in the light or in the darkness? Are you for Christ or are you against him? This is the burden of this passage. John is saying to you this evening, you can't be both a Christian and a non-Christian at the same time. You cannot say that you are in the light and still walk in darkness. Because John's words are clear. If that's the case, you lie and do not practice the truth. But if you do indeed walk in the light and your confession is consistent with it, you can have a clear conscience knowing that you're in fellowship with God. John wants you to realize that you can identify where it is that you walk, whether in the light or in the darkness. But how is it that we can identify where we walk? John wants to show us. He says that those who walk in darkness suppress and reject the truth. And we see this laid out in verses 6, 8, and 10. If you'd look there with me. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. In the section we're looking at, John goes back and forth between what it looks like to walk in the darkness and what it looks like to walk in the light. And verses 6, 8, and 10 give the characteristics of those who walk in darkness. And the characteristic of all three verses, the common theme in verses 6, 8, and 10 is the suppression and rejection of the truth. And what I mean by that is the same thing Paul means in Romans 1, 18 through 20, when he says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known about God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What Paul is saying in these verses is that ever since the creation of man, man has known that God is light. Man has known that he is pure and that he is holy. And whether man wants to admit that or not, he knows. And he also knows that he has sinned and falls short of God's glory. Whether they want to admit this or not, they know, as I said. And John says in verse 6 that we lie and do not practice the truth because we know what the truth is. We know that God is light. We know that he's holy, but we reject it. And in verse 8, he says that we deceive ourselves and the truth, that is Christ, is not in us. In verse 10, we make him, God, a liar, and his word is not in us. Meaning that we call God a liar when he tells us the truth about our sins and we deny it because we don't want to hear it. It'd be like going to the doctor and having a doctor diagnose you with a serious form of cancer and then to have him tell you that you were dying from it. And because you didn't want to hear it, because you didn't want to believe what he said, you told him that he was lying. That he wasn't telling you the truth. But then he shows you the test results. He brings out the examination, shows you the CAT scan results and says, see, it's clear. It's evident. But once again, because you don't want to hear it, you deny what he says. You leave the office calling him a liar, pretending like what he said wasn't true. All the while, the cancer is eating away inside of you. This is exactly the way it is with the false teachers that John is talking about, the false Christians. They claim that they have no sin, verse 8. They claim that they've never sinned, in verse 10. And John is saying that they lie and do not practice the truth because they know what the truth is. God has clearly revealed it to them. He's clearly revealed it in his works of creation and through his word. They know that he is holy and that man is sinful. And is this not the same thing that's happening today? Individuals and churches and denominations even calling what God calls sin, no sin at all. Calling evil good and good evil. claiming that it's okay to be gay, ordaining homosexual pastors and elders, or churches which tolerate adultery or cohabitation before marriage as if it's not a big deal, or individuals coming under the discipline of the church for some unrepentant sin, all the while not willing to admit that they're in the wrong. Well, that church doesn't know what they're talking about. They're being too hard on me, they might say. Or those conservative churches, they're always trying to point out sin. They're always trying to call things sin. They need to lighten up. John is saying that these churches, these denominations, these individuals who claim they have fellowship with God, that they lie. They do not practice the truth. That they deceive themselves. They call God a liar, and His word is not in them. But it's really easy to point fingers, isn't it? It's really easy to say, well, look at them. Look at how messed up they are. They claim to be Christians. They can't possibly be Christians. They are deceiving themselves. But I want to ask, what about you? What about me? What are our lives like? You know, we claim to be in fellowship with God, but do we lie by our deeds? Does what we do contradict our confession? We claim to have fellowship with God. You claim to have fellowship with God, but do you go and lust after another man or woman, whether a coworker or a neighbor or someone on the computer screen? Do you say you haven't lied whenever you tell a teeny tiny little white lie to your husband or wife? When you fudge on your taxes a little bit or borrow something with no intention of returning it? Do you say you have fellowship with God whenever you get angry when somebody wrongs you? Or get jealous when somebody you know gets something you really want? Children, do you disobey your parents? Parents and adults, do you disrespect and disobey those who have authority over you? Brothers and sisters, isn't this claiming to be in the light and yet still walking in darkness? You might be thinking, oh, wait a minute, George, you've got this messed up here. We came to church this evening to hear the good news. We came to be encouraged and uplifted. And according to what you're telling me, I'm no different than the unbeliever. I'm no different than these false Christians John is writing about. But I want to tell you, and I know you've heard this phrase before, it's not the good news until you've heard the bad news. And what you've heard is the bad news. You and I do still commit deeds of darkness while claiming to be in the light. But neither John nor I want you to go away discouraged or distraught this evening. And even though you and I still commit deeds of darkness while claiming to walk in the light, there is a difference. For those of us who have placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a difference between our lives and the lives of an unbeliever, the lives of a false Christian. John wants to point out that the false Christian, the unbeliever, continues to walk in the darkness because he knows his deeds are evil. The false Christian, the unbeliever, continues to walk in darkness because he knows his deeds are evil. We've already said that God is light, and God's light, his truth, shines on everyone and exposes its true condition. It exposes that which is in the darkness. And to see this more clearly, would you please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Apostle John was a good disciple of his master, and the things that he writes in his letter here are just an unpacking or re-explanation of the things which he's heard from his master's lips. In John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, it says this, "And this is the condemnation, or judgment, or evaluation. And this is the evaluation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light." Why? "Because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." How many of you have ever seen cockroaches? When the lights are off, they come out from hiding and they run around, scurry around and do their thing. But as soon as you come and turn on the light, what happens? They scatter. They run and they hide. Why is that? What's survival? They don't want to be exposed. They know that if they're found in the light, they'll be caught and they'll be killed. They're doing everything they can to avoid the light to protect themselves. And this is the same exact way it is with the unbeliever, with the false Christian. When the light is shined on their lives, they run. They seek the darkness. They try to hide because they don't want their lives to be exposed. They don't want the sin in their lives, which they know is there, to come to the surface, because they know that they'll be called to repentance. They know that they'll have to change. They know that they will have to die to themselves. And they don't want to do that. They don't want that to happen. They avoid the light, so they continue on in the darkness. This is what characterizes the unbeliever. This is what characterizes the false Christian. But I want to ask, does this characterize you? What do you do when the light shines on your life? When you're reading your Bible and you get convicted from its truth, do you close it up and walk away because you don't want to feel bad? When you find yourself convicted or guilty during a sermon, do you try to tune out so you don't have to feel the weight of the word that's being spoken? Or when a friend comes and confronts you for a sin that's in your life, do you just hold them at arm's length, hold them at a distance because you don't want to feel wounded? Or when you're all alone and your conscience condemns you for the sin you've just committed, do you turn off your conscience and turn on the TV so you don't have to hear that loud screaming voice in your heart? Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, and John is telling you, that if God's light shines on your life and His truth convicts you for the sin that is there, and you turn and walk in darkness, all the while claiming to be a Christian, God's word says that you lie. The word is not in you. But I want you to know, if this describes you this evening, that there's hope for you if you find yourself fleeing to the darkness. There's hope for you, and that you can walk in the light by repenting and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know you can walk in the light because of the work that Jesus Christ has done for you. Look at what God's word says in verses 7 and 9. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, just as verses 6, 8, and 10 go together to describe those who walk in darkness, verses 7 and 9 go together to describe those who walk in the light. And John is telling his readers, and he's telling you, that there's hope for those who walk in darkness. There's hope for you if you find yourself exposed by the light. And the hope is in this, that if you repent and embrace Jesus Christ as your only hope for salvation, you will be saved. You can enter into the light through repentance and faith. But John is also saying that this repentance and faith is what characterizes the believer. It's a continual life of repentance and faith. When John says, walk in the light in verse 7, he doesn't mean that we don't sin, but that when we do sin, we don't try to hide it from God, but respond with repentance and faith and turn to Jesus Christ, trusting that His blood covers over all of our sin. And this is different than the false Christian, because when the false Christian sees the light, he runs and flees for the darkness. When the true believer, upon seeing the light, recognizes his own sin and then walks into the light, seeking Jesus Christ, knowing that there has been made sacrifice for sin, there's forgiveness for sin. He does not try to hide it from Christ, but he seeks Christ's forgiveness to rest in Him. Instead of running from the doctor who just diagnosed you with cancer, you acknowledge your broken condition before Him, and hope that He can heal you, hope that He can help you. This is what John's trying to say. When you find yourself broken, you acknowledge that condition before the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge that He is the only one who can help you and heal you. So I ask you again, where are you this evening? When you sin, what do? Where do you run? I want to implore you to run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and believe the gospel. Because it's through repentance and belief in the gospel that you can have assurance of your salvation. This is what characterizes the true believer, that he confesses his sin and embraces the Lord Jesus Christ after he sins. He finds his rest and satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. So be encouraged then if you find yourself seeking God's face and asking his forgiveness after you sin, because this is a sign that you belong to him. This is a sign that you live and walk in the light, that you have salvation, because that's what characterizes the life of the believer. But assurance of pardon is not the only benefit you have through repentance and faith. Repentance and faith also brings you into closer fellowship with Christ's church. Look at verse 7 again. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. John points out that we experience fellowship with one another when we walk in the light. Now, if we don't admit that there's sin in our lives, if we don't repent and confess our sins to God and to one another, we cause division. We cause strife. If we don't admit the things that we do are wrong, that they're actually wrong, then we do cause division. Just think again about those churches and denominations that call what is evil good. We can't in good conscience have fellowship with them because of their stances on certain sins. But a lifestyle of repentance and faith cultivates vibrant gospel fellowship. Because then you know the depths of your own sin, but you also know the depths of God's grace to forgive you of your sin. So when you repent and believe, you acknowledge that you're broken, but that Christ is healing you. And you can see that in others' lives as well. You recognize that others like yourselves are sinners, saved by grace. So forgive one another. Just as God in Christ has forgiven you, be assured of your salvation and embrace the fellowship with which repentance and faith affords you. So where then does this leave us? We've seen that God is light and that his light shines on everyone and everything, exposing its true condition. We've seen that there's only two types of people in the world, those who are Christians and those who are non-Christians, those who are wolves and those who are sheep. And we've seen the responses of each when God's truth shines on them. And so this brings us back once again to the ultimate question of this section of John's epistle. How do you know whether those around you who claim the name of Christ really walk in the light? Whether they lie and do not practice the truth? More importantly, because neither John nor I want you to go on a witch hunt, more importantly, how can you have assurance that you walk in the light? How can you have assurance that you are Christ, that you have salvation? When John's simply saying, look at what you do whenever God's light shines on you. The false Christian runs and seeks the darkness, seeks his sin to hide from the light. But the true Christian can know that he has salvation in Jesus Christ because he turns and walks into the light, facing Jesus Christ, walking to Jesus Christ. So once again, I'll finally ask you one more time, where are you running? Where are you walking to? Are you walking to the darkness or to the light? Are you trying to hide your sin? You fear the judgment you're under because of your sin. God's call to you tonight is repent and believe the gospel. Know that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to merit salvation for sinners like you and me. And he accomplished this by his life, death, and resurrection from the dead. And his promise to you is that if you confess your sins and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can walk in the light without guilt, without shame, knowing that your sins have been covered and you stand righteous and pure and spotless before the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you find that you already walk in the light and you find yourself convicted by the sin that's in your life, God's call to you tonight is the same. Repent and believe the gospel. Because this continual lifestyle of repentance and faith is what can assure you of God's fatherly pleasure toward you. You know that you are in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ because you live a life of repentance and faith. So, brothers and sisters, I want you to know this evening that you can walk in the light and that you can know you walk in the light by living a life of repentance and faith. Walk in the light and know that you walk in the light by living a life of repentance and faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gospel. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the work that you accomplished. Holy Spirit, we thank you for applying that work to our lives. Lord, we lived in darkness. And if it weren't for you, who knows what we would be worshiping this evening. But we thank you that just as you spoke into the darkness and brought light out of it, you spoke into the darkness of our hearts and called light to shine. You showed us Jesus Christ and you saved us. We thank you so much for the work that you've done on our behalf. And Lord, we pray that we would remember the gospel. Every time we sin, we would remember the gospel and turn to you, knowing that there has been satisfaction made. Help us to see that. Help us to know the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the work that you've accomplished. We pray that we would always remember it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's confess our sin before God.